عمه رضي الله عنه وهو قتيبة بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء. زياد بن إلاقة, he was a tabi, great tabi, and he was a muhaddis also. He lived over the age of 100, and in fact all the Sahih Sitta, all the 6 books of hadith, they all quote hadith from him. A very very great tabi. His name was Ziyad ibn Ilaqa rahmatullahi alayh. So he is quoting from his uncle. His name was Qutbah ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. So Qutbah ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would read or recite this dua: Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkaratil akhlaq. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from bad akhlaq. Save me from bad character. What a beautiful dua to start with. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from bad character. This refers to all the inward bad qualities. All those inward bad qualities, that akhlaq, razila. Save me from all that. Save me from the jealousy. Save me from hatred. Save me from enmity. Save me from showing off. Save me from excessive desires. Save me from all those things that you dislike. And this would also include that where a person, he looks down at people, and a person is arrogant in his way, in his style. A person is very, very brash, and a person is very, very abusive in his ways. So all this is included in bad akhlaq. We'll come to that a little bit later. The next part of the dua, wal a'mal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from bad actions. So one is save me from the bad inward quality, and here a'mal, save me from the bad outward qualities. Those bad actions that I can do, those actions that displease you, those actions that you do not like. A person can commit murder, he can commit adultery, a person can be disrespectful with his tongue, a person can misuse his eyes, misuse his ears, misuse the outward limbs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. All this now will be included under bad actions. Or that strength and energy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, instead of using it to help people, this person is using it now to be aggressive towards people, to show his authority, to show his power. All these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Therefore this beautiful dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inni a'udhu bika min munkaratil akhlaq, save me from the bad inward qualities, and save me from the bad outward qualities. And the third part is wal ahwa'i, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from the bad desires. Desires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the person. They can be desires for halal, or they can be desires for haram. Person can desire to read Quran Sharif. That's such a beautiful desire. He wants to recite Quran Sharif. Person is there in Makkah Sharif by the Haram. He desires, he wants to make tawaf. This is a good desire. A person, he wants to wake up for Tahajjud Salah and read Tahajjud Salah. Beautiful desire. So like that, to desire good things, there is nothing wrong. It is a good thing. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully says, save me from the bad desires. In other words, not the halal desires, not the good desires. Within reason, a person should actually not make this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove these desires, but he should make this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn my desires from bad to good. So instead of me desiring haram, now I'm desiring those things that are halal. So this is what is meant by wal ahwa'i, that those desires that are unlawful, those bad desires, a person desiring to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person desiring to get involved in haram entertainment, a person desiring also to have, or person having the incorrect niyat will also come under this wrong desires. A person introducing and innovating in deen. So anything a person will do that is related to his desire and his wish that is not good, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me from this. Now coming back to the first part of this hadith, that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkaratil akhlaq, we'll find that many of the mashayikh, that they would work on the students, they work on the murideen, etc., to try and get this akhlaq right. And a very easy way to understand it, what is this akhlaq? What does akhlaq represent? It is very simply, or in a nutshell, what we will term as tasawuf, or what we will term as adab. The essence of it is the same. It have different words, slight difference in meaning, shade in meaning, but the essence is the same, is that how we cannot cause any inconvenience to anybody, number one, and number two is how we don't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in a nutshell. I mustn't be a means of inconvenience to anybody, whether it's psychologically, whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's financially. Whichever way, I mustn't be of any inconvenience to anybody, number one. And number two, I mustn't be displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a nutshell, this is what this akhlaq is about. This is what this tasawwuf is about. This is what this adab is about. This is what this akhlaqi batina is about. That I mustn't be a means of causing anybody any inconvenience. And at the same time, I mustn't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these pious people, they would take it so seriously. They would train their students up so seriously that when you do every action, think one step ahead. When you think one step ahead, then automatically you take the consideration, you make riayat of the next person. It's a very simple example. A person, he's got a bathroom at home. And now when he leaves the bathroom, he can leave it in one of two ways. He can leave water spilt all over. He can see that there's no soap there, there's no towel there, there's no toilet roll there. He can just leave it and come out. And the person who thinks one step ahead will think that there's another person that will need to use this bathroom. If I wipe up, I will clean up, I'll put some soap there, I'll put a towel there, I'll put some toilet roll. The next person that is coming in, it will become easy for him. So a person like that, when he's coming to the masjid, he'll be careful where he parks. When he comes in, he might just see that there is chairs lying all over the masjid, or things are not right. I will think other people will come in, there'll be inconvenience. So now he'll take it and he'll put it right. He wants to read his sunnat namaz also. He's thinking one step ahead. A person might want to cross here. Maybe I shouldn't read in this place. Maybe I should read in that place. Or he sees something not right in the wuzu khana. On his own, he'll go and put it right. Why? Because he's thinking one step ahead. And make it easier for the next person. This is all part of akhlaq. Masihullah rahmatullah alayhi would give this incident of Hazrat Ashraf Ali Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, just to make us think that how these people would get their students, how they would think. So in one occasion, it was the month of Ramadan. Now in that time, even now in India, the month of Ramadan, many masajid occupied the full 30 days. In other words, people come and they sit for itikaf, they come and sit with the buzruq there for full 30 days, and there's discourses, there's majalis, there's programs that take place. So anyway, some of the students and friends, etc., of the Mullah Shafi'i Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi would come and they would sit with him. So he noticed that there was one alim that was there, and he was sitting at one spot. He was sitting at one spot, and then he moved his spot and he came to sit right next to somebody else. In other words, the masjid is big, there was a lot of space to sit, but he changed his spot and he came and sat right next to one person. Either this person was in dua or either this person was making zikr, but this alim came and he sat next to this person. So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi sahab rahmatullah, this is how they would train the students. So he called him up here and he said, tell me, why did you move your spot and come and sit right next to this person? So he said, Hazrat, where I was sitting, my back was facing you. I thought it was disrespectful that my back must face you. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah said, "Theek hai, that answer is good, but the masjid is so big. Why did you have to come sit right next to this person?" So then he thought to himself, he said, there was no specific reason why I came. I didn't think about it. I just came and said that. So then Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi said, tell me, this person, if he's engaged in dua or he was engaged in zikr, would he be comfortable if somebody is sitting right next to him? Would he be able to cry in his dua, express feelings in his dua? Or if he's making zikr now, he has to be a little bit careful if somebody right next to him. So in other words, his space also, that you are cramping it in a little... You are cramping it in a way. So he agreed that I have cramped this person's space. His dua, he couldn't express that feeling. Or the zikr, he would have been a little bit cautious. Somebody is sitting right next to him. So psychologically, you should give this person a little bit discomfort. So then Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi sahab rahmatullah, to train him up now, he's asking him, what will you do to rectify this mistake that you have made? So he said, Hazrat, you tell me what I should do. And whatever you tell me, punishment you give me, I'm ready to carry it out. So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah, still to get him to think further, he said, Ajeeb baat hai, you make the mistake and I must prescribe the punishment. You make the mistake, you must prescribe the punishment. So now this person said, okay, Hazrat, what I'll do is all the shoes outside, I will straighten all the shoes every day. I'll make the shoes straight. So then Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah said, acha, then people will say that you're a big buzruk, you came here and you're making all the shoes straight for everybody. So instead of you benefiting, things will become worse. Like just to train him up, he's telling him this. So then he said, okay, what I'll do is all the gutters that are here, all the gutters. Now in India, you know, the gutters get very, very dirty. It's not like ours freely flowing. It's always, there's muck there, there's dirt there, whatever you can find, things are just flowing and it's getting stuck there. He said, I'll clean all these gutters. So he said, then people will think you're an even bigger buzruk now, you're cleaning all the gutters. So then he said, okay, Hazrat, what I'll do is I'll leave. He said, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah, I like that. That I like. He said, I'll leave, I'll go to Jalalabad, I'll stay there with Mawlana Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi. and after some time I'll come back. So then Mawlana Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali got happy. So this is what he did. He went there, and when he was there, he wrote back and he got ijazah to come. And then Mawlana Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali allowed him to come back. Now why Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would mention this? Is such strict measures Mawlana Tanvir Rahmatullah Ali took against this person, not out of hatred or anything, but to teach him that when you do everything, think one step ahead. Don't do anything without thinking. I think this person will ever sit anywhere or do anything without thinking. He'll always think one step ahead. That this is, when I'm doing this, is this the right thing to do? Will I bring comfort to somebody by doing this? Or will I bring harm to somebody? When I'm speaking, the words I'm using, I'm going to cause this person to be comfortable, or my words are going to cause this person to feel hurt. Is my words going to bring a smile to this person, or is my words going to bring a sadness to the person? So person is careful of his words, he's careful of the messages he sends. This person is careful of the way he parks. The person is very careful of the way he treats his staff. He's careful of the way he conducts himself. He's careful of everything. The non-Muslims are looking at me, Muslims are looking at me, this person is looking at me. So he's very, very careful. So all this is included under the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkaratil akhlaq. Oh Allah Pak, save me from bad akhlaq. Now we'll read it one time inshallah, so we'll get this dua. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.